and it was repeated again from 1 Peter. Jesus replied, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. If for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." So our whole conversation needs to be birthed with the Lord, spirit, soul, and body. Now, if we keep it in those three contexts, is the whole being of our conversation, is our whole being of our prayer life in the spirit? Or is it just focusing in on our souls and our body needs? Adam was made in the three parts. We, mankind, are born in spirit, soul, and body. But if we live in darkness, we do not have that spirit. Adam had to work hard. He had to look at his soul, what he knew, what he could learn, what his knowledge was to support his body, to support what he knew. He knew nothing before the fall of death. He knew nothing of a separation from God. And before the fall, Adam talked to God. Now, I just want you to picture, just picture a conversation that Moses had with God, that when he was in on top of Mount Sinai and he came down, his face was radiant because he had been with the living Savior. His spirit had been birthed in the light of God. He had seen God. He had spoken to God. He had been given the commandments. And when he came down from Mount Sinai, his face was radiant. We all remember that. But in the conversation that Adam had day by day with God, do we not see the same radiant picture of spirit, soul, and body that Adam must have had, being with God, walking with God in the cool of the day, that radiant conversation? Where's our spirit, soul, and body radiant prayer life? Where is our conversation? Have we been in that conversation with God where our bodies, our faces are radiant because we've been in that conversation with God? Have we got there? Or is just our prayer life, soul, and body? Is our spirit really, really working with the Holy Spirit and saying, this is what you need to be praying for, to see the radiant glow of the light of God? Are we seeing that in the conversation we have with our Father? Or is our soulish nature taking over what we know, what we physically see with our eyes? Oh, I can see you're limping today, so let's just pray for you. But what about that spiritual awareness? Once you've been healed, what are you going to do for God? What are you going to do when you start praying for another building for Josh Jen Church? Are you going to work hard and see where the Spirit is going to bring in for salvation? Or are you just making it more comfortable for your soul and your body? It'll be nicer to have a bit more space, the sound system a little bit better. Or are we really praying the conversation to God? Are we having a spiritual awareness of salvation day by day coming into this new building that we're praying for? What I'm saying is not written down, by the way. Our spirit, soul, and body. How do we exercise? How do we train? How do we train to have that conversation? And I've asked one or two people just to share a little bit of their prayer life, their little bit of their conversation with God through different circumstances. I will share a little bit about my life and my understanding spirit, soul, and body prayer life that I have had with the Lord over the few years that I've lived. But I want to understand it's a living testimony this morning of prayer and how people have prayed and how the Lord has answered. And I want you to try and pick out the spirit, soul, and body of the prayer life that these people will share. I haven't asked them to specifically pray or share something on prayer. They are going to just share something that's touched their heart over their lives through prayer. And I want to just see if you can spot the spirit, soul, and body of what they share this morning. They don't know that I was going to say that, by the way. They have prepared in their heads over the last little while the prayer, but they've not known that I'm asking for the spirit, soul, and body of the conversation that they've had with God. So, who wants to be brave enough to come first? Marius looks like first. He's jumping up. That's great. Thanks, Marius.
Yeah, mine is a little bit different. It's not a quick answer to prayer. I had an opportunity with a friend of mine to go and pray for a Muslim man's daughter. And his daughter was not birthed well. She had a brain dysfunction, and she didn't develop well. And she's a lot of sicknesses. And this friend of mine, and we went to go and pray, and we saw this. God, this Muslim man, if he can heal his daughter, he's going to come to salvation. This is going to be a miracle of miracles. God, this is your opportunity now. And we started praying, and we were crying later on. And our tears were wetting the bed that this girl was laid on, and nothing happened. I said, God, but, and it was even on my birthday, I remember. And I said, God, but I need a birthday present from you now, you know. Put your miracle into this girl. And she didn't get healed. And what's so significant about this, and I struggled with God continuously with this. Later, 2 months later, that girl actually died. I said, God, I don't understand this. Why did this girl die? I don't understand this, God. And I was struggling with God. And about a year later, as I was flying in from the airport, this guy came running to me, this father of this daughter. He was jumping across all the suitcases, and he was just going for me. And he hugged me and he said, I became a Christian because of what that prayer of yours. And I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand. Lord, his daughter died, but you brought this guy to salvation. And that to me was, eventually after a year, I could understand the answered prayer that time. I didn't understand it previously. But yeah, that's my story.
Thanks, Marius. I think we can picture the radiant smile in your tears this morning. So you were radiant with the prayer that was answered, even if it was not the way you, in your mind, in your soul, and perhaps the life of the young girl, but she is now with the Lord. Who else would like to share? Sean? Oh, sorry, Soret. Let's go, Soret, lady.
Our story is a little bit different, a bit personal, but so bear with me. When our oldest daughter, Neria, was born, she was born with a stomach defect. Most of you know, you don't know this. And for the first 2 years of her life, there were many days that she might not have been here because she just vomited away everything. She couldn't keep food down. And we prayed a lot, and lots of people prayed with us, and family prayed with us, and there wasn't really a miracle, or something didn't really change. And she was on this medication. As she got older, it got a little bit better, but nothing really significant happened, even though we kept on praying and we searched God and we asked Him daily for healing. Nothing really happened. And by the time she was 5, the doctors wanted to operate on her and just fix inside what needs to be fixed. And we just couldn't make that decision. And we asked our church at that particular point in time to pray with us whether we need to go forward with this or not. And the answer was just no. God is going to come through for you. And He did. He did. We didn't do that operation. But over the years, Neria kept on having the same problem. She never really got healed. She's been on medication all her life. since the day she was born. And, yeah, like I said, we've been praying and praying, searching God, searching for answers, searching the right diets, the right everything. I mean, we've done everything over the years, and it's 20 years. She's 20. But in all of this, God has been faithful. God has been faithful to us and with us and for us. When we didn't know what to pray, God was there. When we didn't see the answer, God was there. When we saw medical bills, there was answered prayer regarding that. And for the last 4 years, we just became to a point where we had to make decisions regarding her future and all sorts of things like that. And we went to God again and said, listen, God, is this the way? Is this the way for a young girl to grow up having to lay down lots of things like normal teenagers do? Living a life with pills. And we started a journey of weaning her off and trusting God that he will heal her in this process. And as I stand here today, she's on no medication at all. She's doing well. She's slower than normal teenagers, girls of 20 years old. But God has been faithful to her. She loves him. She serves him wholeheartedly. She worships. She's a good worship leader. She is trusting God for complete and utter healing in her body. She's on no medication. She's gaining weight. She's even growing. For the first time since she was 10 years old, she's even growing a little bit. And that is because God has been faithful for us. And it's taught us to never lose hope. Never lose hope. Never trust that he will not come through for us. Even though our prayers might not have been heard the first day that she was born, our prayers are being heard. God's grace has been on her life. And that's also the meaning of her name. Her name, Maria, means light of God. And he's got a purpose. He's going to let us shine because his purpose for her is greater than ours.
Thanks, Suresh.
I'll take it. I'll just do it. Yeah, it's funny, as Bob was talking, I just realized that you can pray for the same thing, but one in the flesh and one in the spirit. As he was saying about the building, you can pray for a new building so I don't have to pack out chairs, and that's praying in the flesh. It's actually pray in the spirit, God, I want a new building because I want to see salvation. So I want to pray for the things of the kingdom. Anyway, I've got a testimony just of Bryden when he was a bit younger before we moved to George. We were actually, he was busy outside doing parkour, which is a sport it actually wasn't parkour. He was just messing around on the balcony of our garage, and he had fallen, and he actually broke his arm. It was your left arm. And what happened was, in the process, Lauren is panicking, and I was like, are you sure the thing's broken? Meanwhile, the arm was like totally, you know, as a father, you don't want to overreact. The reality was, we took him to the hospital, and they operated, I think, at night. And what happened was, in the process of all of this, the doctors and the nurses never actually explained to us as parents what to do. And so one of the things that I think a follow-up from the operation was not very good, because, you know, we as parents don't know how to do. We don't deal with broken arms every day. So one of the things they should have had is elevated arm and all of this. Anyway, there were so many complications that happened that Bryden developed what they call a compartment syndrome, which is where the nervous system that flows to your hand was severed, really. He couldn't have blood flowing to that. And so he started clenching his hand that he couldn't open. Basically became a fist, and he couldn't open up his hand. He couldn't use his fingers. There was no movement, and we didn't know what was happening. So we took him back after two days or so. We took him back to the hospital, and we said, look, something's wrong. So the doctor said, he's going to have to do another operation. He did the operation, same thing, nothing's happening. And so we as parents are ignorant, you know, like Suret said, you know, you don't even know what to pray for. And that's a good thing. You don't have to be a doctor to pray for something specific. But so anyway, we were interceding and praying because, I mean, my boy was standing without an arm that was working. There was nothing, he couldn't use it for anything. And just how he battled, even, I think, emotionally, how he was dealing with this. And so we were in a desperate situation. And so we prayed. And so the doctor was going to make a scheduled appointment for a third operation. And what happened, and this is where the miracle happened, the doctor that diagnosed Bryden and operated, he fell sick. He was totally sick for a whole month. There was something wrong. Now, I want to say this was God, but I think God allows certain things in order to him to do something else. So he kind of removed this doctor out of Bryden's sight. And then what happened is we had another doctor come in and diagnose Bryden. And he looked at Bryden. He was a more experienced doctor, knew what he was doing. And he says, your son doesn't need another operation. He needs physio, and he needs it now. And we got to the physio, and the woman started treating him and handling him. And she said to us, if you guys had come a day later, your son would have lost his hand. Because of the nervous system, the blood not flowing, he would have had gangrene. He would have had to have it amputated. And so, you know, sometimes you're praying for the doctor to sort things out, and God's saying, no, I want another doctor to do this. You know, so we don't even know what to pray. But it was a miraculous thing. If that doctor had operated again, it would have been the same, no results. He would have lost his hand. And so even the way God works is important. So, you know, the Bible says, Paul says, sometimes we pray, even in the Spirit, we speak in tongues. And it might be unfruitful, but you're praying in the Spirit. So you're praying for the things that God knows. And I think we need to pray in the Spirit. And we need to pray in tongues too. And I want to encourage you guys. You might not feel, it's not my thing, my strength. The Bible says it. God says it. So we should follow his instructions. God knows what he's doing. Okay. Amen.
I was going to share about Lucas, but all I'll say to Lucas is ditto to what you guys went through with diets and all that. But I've got another one which I was thinking you know, sometimes we want an instant answer to prayer and healing. We kind of, in our minds, in my mind at least, you know, I'm praying and I want to see healing there and then. And I think there's few things as well that will get you on your knees, like your children and the health of your children, because you just realize, actually, now what? So God, and it's amazing how we first go to others as well sometimes before we go to God, but it's Bob's time to preach, not mine. So I've got a friend that, with their firstborn or first baby, they did a scan. This was quite a few years ago. And they did a scan at the normal 9 weeks of age, and they found that the ventricles in this little girl's brain, which ventricles is basically, it's just the fluid-filled compartment in your brain that was completely much bigger than what it was supposed to be. There's certain parameters, and it was above that normal, which they thought might be one or two conditions. And they realized that it wasn't that with a scan. But then, of course, the first option was your baby will probably not make it, or at least be severely brain damaged and disadvantaged. So abortion was offered, and that was just no way. That's not an option at all. We believe in God. This was actually in England when it happened. So the guys were just, okay, well, whatever, but come back in 2 weeks' time. So we were praying just for this little girl, just for healing. And, of course, with the second scan, everything was normal. And we were like, go on, God, that's awesome. And the doctor was, okay, well, this is weird and this is strange and all that. But then he said, let's just make sure, come back in 3 weeks' time. And so we went from our emotions from there to there, and then on the next scan, it was back to where it was in the first place, outside the normal parameters, and so we're back there again. And the amazing thing is just that the promise that God gave these guys, it was really just the gift of faith in action. For them, this couple, my friends, had absolutely no doubt God will heal their daughter. And I remember just being around them, and we praying and praying and praying and trusting God that actually, God, this will happen. And in the meantime, and this is now more confession than anything, is like, God, we want to be there, but how do we support them? Because you need to come through, because because really just their faith really depends on this. How what would you know, and it's what if sort of thing started creeping up in me and in some of the other friends, but them as a couple just stood that God will heal her. So they went every 3 weeks for scans basically, and it just stayed that outside that parameter. And the doctors eventually said, okay, well, it's up to you. There will be, you will have a disabled child and all that. Anyways, Leah was born perfectly normal, like a normal little child. She was after long and short, eventually, by the time that she went to school, she was in the top of a class, or pretty much in the top, you know, top 10 or whatever the case may be. Mentally, physically, she's active, she's participating in sport and all that. And even after birth, they still scan just to see if the ventricles didn't perhaps, you know, the opening just didn't perhaps open a little bit so that there could be more of this fluid draining. We never knew why. We still don't know. They didn't go bother for follow-up brain scans or anything after that, you know, with MRI scans. But the long and short is God came through, and it was just such an amazing faith-building exercise for all of us praying alongside them. And, you know, this anticipation, what if, what's going to happen? And eventually, by the time that she was a young toddler, you could see that actually, no, hold on. God's in control, regardless of what the anatomy was saying. That was absolutely perfect.
B?
Yeah, what is prayer? You know, for me, it's my go-to. It's where I go when I have a problem, when a crisis happens in my life.
I've been overseas for a couple of months now, not by choice, for sure. I'm Irish, I'm not English, so it was 2 months in England, and that was very stressful for me. they think very differently to what we do. But my brother died very suddenly, and I needed to be there to organize a funeral and sort his house out. And it's amazing how God knows exactly what you need before you even pray, before you even start praying. And so arrangements, everything just fell into place. And even though I was completely alone, it was interesting that we sang the song, I Raise a Hallelujah, because that was my go-to song overseas. I had it on my phone. And so I stayed with my sister, and we walked. I woke up early every morning, and that was my quiet time. And so I would walk through the woods and through the forest, which my sister was convinced someone was going to kill me. But as I started my walk, I would just ask God to protect me. And so I would use on my phone, and I would play that. I don't know who else could hear it, but I was playing that song, and I was praying in tongues and praying quietly all the time. And if I can just put in here that it's good to, and I know I'm preaching to, you know, the saved here, but it's good to sort of practice that prayer time, because it's like you're it's a muscle, it's something you need, you know. And sometimes when you're on your own, it's I don't want to say, can I say it's all you've got, you know, but it's you and God, you know. And so if you know it and you use it, it works well for you. It worked well for me. It kept me lifted up all the time I was there. And it was amazing. I wasn't really able to, I wouldn't say preach, but, you know, share too much with my family, because they have fallen away from the Lord. But I was able to show them Christ, and that spoke volumes. Sometimes, I think you preached last, or someone preached a few weeks ago about too much salt, and it ruins it, but less salt, and so I went with that. And so it meant a lot. It spoke volumes to them, how I, you know, when everyone else was stressing, I was like, no, this will be okay, we can get through this. And then it's not just, I think Bob touched on it, not just talking to God, but listening to him as well. When I felt like sending a message home, you know, that probably having just a good moan about things, I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, no, I don't want you to send that. I don't know how people hear God. I just know you don't hear it here, you hear it here.
you know, and it's, I can't even explain it, but you just know when the Holy Spirit says to you, no, no, don't go that way, go this way, don't say that, keep quiet, you know, so, and then, so I would delete it, and I thought, okay, that's good, you know, I can hear, I can talk to God, I can hear God, it's going to be okay. And then, just jumping out of that now, a few weeks ago, when I got back, I needed to get my hair cut. And so I was at the hairdresser, and this girl came in, and someone had actually come early, and so she was sitting there waiting. And then this other lady came in, and she was a bit tearful, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, you need to pray for this lady. And I thought, gee, you know, look, everybody's around here, you know. I actually went to the other lady, and I said to the lady, can I pray for you? And she said, yes, please. And so I went to this other lady, and I just said to her, I hope I don't offend you, but, you know, no, no, she said, I'd like to pray too. So I think it's to hear the Holy Spirit and to follow his instruction. You know, I don't always do it. I don't want you to think I'm some holier-than-thou person here. I'm really not. When you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, you know, react. You know, I 3 years ago when we all started, not we all, but there was like, I think there's only the original ones here today. And I don't remember, but Mervis came up from Cape Town and he spoke, and he mentioned Revelation 5:8, where when we pray, the angels collect our prayers in bowls of incense and they take them to the throne. And then in Revelation 8:5, where God answers our prayers, and they're actually sent back down with thunder and fire, and you know. So God does answer prayer. He really does. Never, ever think that God doesn't answer prayer. And I don't think any prayer is too little, you know. But I would just encourage you not to pray in a crisis, but to talk to God every day. You know, and just and let him lead you and guide you, whether it's at school, whether it's in your business, or even just the housewife at home. You know, it works.
Thank you. So just to go through the testimonies that we've heard, did you pick up the soul, the body, and more importantly, how the Spirit was actually talking through those prayers? Maybe it's encouragement for you was the spirit of the prayer that was to encourage you to perhaps develop that spirit within you. Not every prayer is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We read that in James chapter 4, verse 3. And praying wrongly is when we do not pray in God's will, either from wrong motives or out of ignorance, our soul praying out of, or perhaps our body requirements, a wrong motive. Are we praying in God's will? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And I'm sure most of us have really been in that place, perhaps not in a health issue or perhaps a concern over your children, because a lot of the testimonies were talking of health and talking of how people were needed more than what they could understand, their soul. What they needed more was what their body could understand. They needed the Spirit. In John chapter 17, I'll really give you this as homework. If you read through John chapter 17, you will read that Jesus prays for himself. And then Jesus prays for his disciples. And then we see the longest prayer of Jesus in this John chapter 17. That he prays for all believers, you and I. And the way he kind of answers our prayers. Sorry. There is a strength in really opening our hearts to knowing our spirit, our soul, and our body before the Lord. When I had open heart surgery some many years ago, and then going through colon cancer only a couple of years ago, the scripture that kept me vibrant was one of those spiritual kind of prayers that John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's where I've developed my spirit, my soul, and my body. I've come to know that it's not through anything that I've learned in my soul, anything of my history or my healing. It's really been to know that the Lord is there for me in my spiritual life, to have life and to have it abundantly. Paul tells us to be strong. He tells us to stand firm in God's power, developing a prayer life through all of these challenges, whether it was a health issue or a child or some other activity. Sorry. Death is often described as separation from God. Yet when we die, we see it also as being reunited with God. And so death can have more than one meaning. Perhaps that is part of your spiritual life that you need to understand. For prayer, there is no formula. There is no detailed technique of how to learn and how to pray. We should start by doing what we find all people throughout Scripture was doing, simply talking to God, wrestling with issues, being near to God. Psalm 139, God is everywhere. He cannot be escaped from. He is right here, right now. How have you developed your spiritual, your soul, and your body life in prayer? It's a challenge for each one of us this morning. And I just thank those who have shared their small testimonies this morning for showing us that they have had some understanding of spiritual prayer, understanding their souls, understanding their commitment to the body. We need to speak to God about these things that matter most. That's the conversation that we have. I'm sure if you understand the conversation between Barbara and I during the course of the day, there's a conversation about trivial things like, why didn't you put your washing in the bin? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Are we having those same kind of conversations with God? What is happening with my grandchild? Why isn't he or she learning a little bit more than what we think? What are we going to do with a new venue? Are we going to have salvations? Are we going to see a breakthrough in understanding spirit, soul, and body in our prayer life? Prayer is that impulse that each and every one of us should be having to want to have conversation, to speak to God, but also conversation to hear from God. Praying for people is a form of love. Intercessory prayer, as we pray for each and every one of us. John chapter 15 connects that, where Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We find his life flowing through us, bearing fruit. Is that not our prayer time when we are trying to connect that same life-giving flow of blood through the vine, through Jesus, through us, to others, as we spirit, soul, and body pray for each other? A healthy conversation is with God when you find yourself naturally talking to God. I'm sorry, Lord, that I messed up here. I'm sorry, Lord, that your word that I didn't understand, but now I do, I want to share it with others. There's more about the aspects of your life. If you care about something, God wants to hear about it. He wants to hear it, not about your body, not about what you've understood, your soul, but he wants to connect with your spirit. He wants to develop that spirit within you. I have got a whole series of scriptures which I'm not going to ask Marius to put them up, because I think we've understood we need to develop that spirit within us to understand more of intercessory prayer. We need to understand more of the truth of prayer that sets us free, that sets us away from the shame and the guilt perhaps that's held you back from praying. Perhaps when you kind of want to pray for anything, you kind of feel reserved. Well, God, should I be praying about that? Maybe you should look for a direction as your spirit, the Holy Spirit in your spirit leads you in a direction of trust that you can pray for anything. And as we repent and as we kind of mute out the bad things in our lives. We want to please God through our prayers. We don't want to become complacent, and we don't want to just settle. We want to do more in prayer. We want to develop that spirit, that soul, that body, and keep on obeying what the Lord is saying to us through prayer. We want Him to use us. Is that part of your prayer, the spiritual life of your prayer, to use us to trust more and more of what God wants of you? Are we able to share? Are we able to have that intercessory prayer with others around us? Are we sharing with others the goodness of God, how He has healed, how He has brought people through trials and tribulations? Or are we overwhelmed sometimes by all of these miracles? Are we sharing the greatness of God and what He has asked of us? Let's develop a healthy conversation. Let us come day by day with that radiant face of knowing, like Moses, that I've conversed with the Lord. I've really had that understanding. How is your prayer life when I say, after you've been in your quiet time with prayer, have you got a radiant smile? Have you got that radiance of conversation with God? Have you heard from Him? Let's pray about that, because I can see no radiant faces. Or do I see radiant faces? Can I ask that question this morning? Have you a radiant face in your conversation with God? Not that I want you to put veils over your faces, because I want to see that radiance in prayer. I want us to be in that place through prayer that our spirit, our soul, and our body is really radiant for Jesus as we pray. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before You this morning, Lord, and we do realize that we live in this dark place. And yet it is only through Your brilliant radiance, Lord, that shines into those dark areas that we can indeed, with our spirit, grasp hold of the truths that You have for us, the ability to really shine for You. We ask, Lord, for Your forgiveness, our forgiveness, Lord, for the things that we have done wrong, that have hurt You, Lord, that have given us a continuance of darkness in our lives. We ask, Lord, that You break through that spirit into these lives, into our lives, Lord, that need that radiant smile, that radiant face, knowing that we've had the conversation with You. We pray, Lord, that we hear from You, that we are in that place that just breaks through our knowledge and understanding and our soul nature. We pray, Lord, that You do continue to heal our bodies, Lord, and give to us the strength and the energy to praise You and to worship You and to come into a place like this, Lord, to corporately worship You, Lord. But more importantly, Lord, in those quiet times, when we are in those moments of quietness, Lord, where Your Spirit speaks to our spirit, may we have that conversation with You through prayer. May we understand that beauty that comes from within. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we close this service, Lord, but we know that You continue in conversation, talking with Your people. We thank You and we praise You, Lord, that over the years You have indeed spoken to people. You have indeed uplifted them, Lord, in that conversation of prayer. Help us to develop, Lord, a closer walk with You, a closer walk, Lord, to understand that which You are saying to us. Just these three simple things, Lord, of spirit, soul, and body. How are we praying, developing that muscle of spirit, soul, and body to worship You, to receive from You, and to ask anything because you have declared it to us that You want us to be obedient to Your will. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to that will. Help us to hear You strongly, Lord, as we develop and as we grow in You. Help us, Lord, not to be fearful. Help us, Lord, not to to have any anxious moments, that we can indeed know that you are for us and not against us. And we give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord. We rejoice, Lord, as we share in our lives together. Thank you for being a living Father to each and every one of us. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Help us, Lord, from this day forth to seek that radiant face of spirit, soul, and body, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Amen. Okay, it's the end of our service this morning. If anyone would like to really have prayer,